Most of us here are well acquainted with God's standards and his desires for our lives. In fact, we wish, possibly, that there was more emphatic preaching about it. Some things that we should really be pushing. And we have that desire to speak the truth. Now, sometimes we don't have that desire to speak the truth personally, but all of us here in general believe that we as a church should be proclaiming the truth. Notice up here the Manhattan Declaration. By the way, the website for that, because the elders asked us about a month ago to look that up and sign it, it's www.manhattandeclaration.org. So let's move along then. Andy, what is coming on next here?
I call him my miracle baby. He almost didn't make it into this world. I can remember so many times when I almost lost him. It was so hard. Well, he's all grown up now, and I still worry about his health. You know, with all our family's been through, we have to be tough. Timmy, we're trying to tell our story here.
Sorry about that, Mom. You still worry about me, Mom?
Well, yeah, you're not nearly as tough as I am.
As of a couple of days after the Super Bowl, there was over 1 million hits on that website. In fact, it was the most of any of the advertising that was done on Super Bowl. Even in our inconsistency, God periodically brings opportunities for you and I to speak his truth. Presently, abortion and elder care are center stage. They're center stage because of their cost, because of their inconvenience. They interfere with our careers. They're politically good capital for us. And even there's a satanic influence involved with it. Like we said earlier, we all have the privilege of speaking the truth. We are the last generation. You and I are the last generation that has any concept of biblical truth. And the knowing of biblical truth is very limited today. It's very minimal in our church culture. Regular participation in private Bible study or small groups or church relationships where the scriptures are actually opened and taught. We do a lot of other things now, but our exposure to the Word of God itself is very minimal. And yet, compared to the rest of the culture, we are the last generation. Earlier we saw that abortion, center stage, elder care, center stage, loss of freedoms, center stage. These are things that are coming in upon us like gangbusters. Herod the Great, that we heard about a couple of months ago, he was one of the early defenders of freedom of choice. And you know what happened there. It's a slippery slope that is going on in our culture and society. Just prior to Christ dying, Pilate said, "What is truth? What is truth?" And truth is that which is unmovable. Truth is that which is factual, that is solid. It's like this podium. This podium isn't kind of floating around like relativity today, where everyone kind of has their own belief systems. No. This podium's steady. And that's what biblical truth is. Let's take our Bibles, if you would, and turn to Psalm 78. Note the verses 3 through 4 and 6 through 8. As we read, take note of a couple of emphases there. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. Then going down to verse 8, it says, they would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. There's a charge there in that passage, and it goes on. If you would read it, we had time to read it. And it's a historical account of the up and down cycles of the children of Israel. At times they were very idolatrous. Idolatrous too, probably, but idolatrous. And in that, they had a lot of unbelief. In our lives too, my life at least is very parallel to that. It kind of goes up and down at times. But the consistency that we need to look for is the consistency of the Word of God. And as you went through that psalm, if we did, you would see a repetitive comment. Remember, remember. And remember is very essential to our understanding of the Word, our understanding of God, that we need to come back to this very regularly and remember what God has done for us and who God is. As God brings these opportunities across our pathway, we must speak the truth in love, Ephesians 4. That is, we earn the right in a relationship to speak into the situation. It must be done gently, but with confidence, because we are speaking the oracles of God. The venue for these three messages is the Manhattan Declaration. It brings to the forefront these three crucial issues of abortion, elder care, and freedoms. We as professing Christians kind of think that's out here. Don't get too excited about that now. But this infusion and this pushing in upon us is already in full bloom. You have your children watching TV, or looking at video games, whatever they do, let alone us, and there's subtle little messages going out to them, gradually steering how they should think. The medical world is under pressure right now. If you're in the medical world, over abortion, over elder care, because you have to contain costs. You know, you can't have these old people in the last 3 years of their life spending hundreds of thousands of dollars. There's pressure there. But the Lord said to his disciples, and he's saying to us now, some words we need to grasp and hold on to. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. My peace I give to you. Maybe you've had the experience of having a youngster with you, and maybe you're in Mammoth Caves, the darkest place I can think of, but wherever it is, and this child grasps your hand and just clings to it. Or perhaps you've been with an ill person, and they cling onto your hand, and when it's time for you to leave, you have to pry their hand off because they're grabbing you so tightly. And that's what we have to do to these words that the Lord has given. Be not afraid, because we're going to be facing loss of education, loss of jobs. We already are. These pressures are already involved in us. The sanctity of life, Genesis, Psalms, Jeremiah, and Luke. Now listen to the words. And God created man in his own image. That's in Genesis. Listen to these words from the Psalms. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Your own eyes, with your own eyes, you saw my body being formed. Embryo. Jeremiah says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I chose you to speak for me. Each of us here as believers, God has a message for us to be proclaiming. Then, of course, in Luke, you have where the baby that became John the Baptist leaped for joy when Mary came along and made expression, and the child recognized who was in her womb. The God who created the universe, millions of miles of it, has created you and I to do good works. In Ephesians 2, we're told that. We are unable to comprehend and grab hold of what it means to be created in the image of God. Biblical scholars differ about this, but there are several things that we know about it. We can safely say that man created in God's image was created with a conscience, which God holds him responsible for, by the way, in Romans 1. And he was created with the ability to relate to God, to relate to one another. The first verse in Genesis says, and God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And God has given some of that ability to mankind, the ability to organize out of chaos. And so every major company today has a research department, do they not? And they bring order out of stuff that we couldn't imagine. Or we have gadgets that we go to Best Buy and purchase that are brought together because man has this organizational ability. Alice Ann thinks at times, periodically, that she has this organizational ability. And she attempts to bring chaos out of her husband's dresser. And she says she just wants to help. Just be a help. And her husband says, leave my stuff alone. Yeah, because when she's done with it, I can't find it. And so anyway, sometimes we are like that and towards the Lord in that we respond to him as he desires, and we know he desires, to be involved in these intricate parts of our life. And we say to him, stay out. Leave me alone. Stay away. Because I like what I'm doing. And he wishes to infuse himself in a greater extent into our lives to bring some pullback from the obsessive behaviors that we have. One of them that's primary in our culture today is Baal worship. In fact, in the Old Testament, it says the children of Israel chased after Baals, chased after them. And Baal worship is the pursuing of material things. That's what it's about. And so give thought to that for ourselves. But what's going on with us is that we have come to a place of, as 1 Thessalonians 5 says, of quenching the spirit. These issues, and we could list them by the yard, don't even affect us because, you know, that's the way it is, and that's the way I spend my time and money, and we have quenched the Holy Spirit. God's creation, all of it, was perfect. And then Adam and Eve, in what we call a fall in Genesis 3, said, no way, we're doing it our way. And as a result, the whole creative order was messed up. In fact, in Romans it says, all creation moans for that time, for that day of redemption. And then for ourselves, our whole genetic pool was contaminated. The obsessive personalities, the tendency towards illnesses, I could name more, but let's just say every perverted evil that you could think of is a result of the fall. And we as human beings carry on and carry with us the results of this fall. Although we are created in God's image, we are not created in his likeness. Now, we were originally, but not now. That was ruined at the fall. But it is being reconstructed and being renewed in the lives of all of us here as believers in him. And that we will one day become perfect. It came up in the first service, but if one day through the Spirit, his image will be completely recreated in us The scriptures say that we are a new creature in Christ. Listen to this. It says, "Great God, your love has called us here. We, as by love, for love were made. Your living likeness still we bear, though marred, dishonored, and disobeyed." The process is going on. The process is being renewed by the working of the Holy Spirit. And in this process, there's a change of attitude, a change of priority, a change of outlook comes upon us. Mike, would you just come up and share with us what's happened to you? Then Amanda will follow her, will follow you.
Can I borrow your...
Yeah, you can borrow it.
Promise I won't spit on it.
Don't take it off me. I'm going to get it on.
We can share.
I can share.
Good morning. So Art asked me to talk about not what I do when I do sidewalk counseling, but why I do it. Previously, I've spoken to you before about what I do when I'm out there. I'll start with a story from nearly 3 years ago, and I'll read an excerpt from My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers, and I'll finish with a thought I had last Saturday while standing outside the abortion mill on 6 Mile in Detroit. Here's the story. On a Saturday in June of 2007, having met Alicia Wong at our annual yard sale for Rose in May, Art, don't move away from me, man. Alicia was there buying a bunch of baby clothes and that we learned were for mothers who had recently changed their minds and decided to keep their babies rather than aborting them. Anyway, while we were filling a shipping container with clothes and toys for an orphanage in Ukraine, Alicia called us and asked us if we would pray for a young woman who she was having a difficult time convincing to forego an abortion. So a few of us stopped in what we were doing and prayed that God would give Alicia the words to say to her and that her heart might be softened so that she might be persuaded to keep her baby. About an hour later, we were driving home, Alicia called again, despondent because the young woman was inside the mill going through with letting the abortionist kill her baby. After that phone call, my chest hurt, and we felt helpless and in despair over merely being made aware of a situation like this for the first time, let alone being on the front lines of the battle like Alicia is. You know, you have to remember, I mean, I've been doing this now for about 3 years, but I didn't even know it existed at the time we got that phone call from her, and the emotion of being right in the middle of knowing somebody who was talking to somebody that was going through with killing their baby was overwhelming at the time. So with that, I'll read an excerpt from a recent My Utmost for His Highest, where Oswald Chambers talks of the initiative against despair. He starts with the words of Jesus to the disciples after they had fallen asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Matthew 26:46, Jesus says, "Rise, let us be going." And here is some of what Chambers says of that account. "The disciples went to sleep when they should have kept awake, and when they realized what they had done, it produced despair. And we say, it's all up now, it's no use trying anymore. Whenever we realize that we have not done that which we had a magnificent opportunity of doing, then we are apt to sink into despair. And Jesus Christ comes and says, sleep on now, that opportunity is lost forever, you cannot alter it, but arise and go to the next thing. Let the past sleep, but let it sleep in the bosom of Jesus Christ and go out into the irresistible future with him." So now I have a preface or a disclaimer or better yet, a confession. Before I give you my final thought on this, I confess I frequently don't listen to the Holy Spirit. In fact, I know that sometimes I do the exact opposite of what he's telling me to do. So here's the thought I had last Saturday while standing in front of a mill during a break in the flow of women and sometimes men going in willingly and purposefully to have their babies killed and removed. How many saved innocent babies are worth my Saturday mornings that I used to spend relaxing and reading the newspaper? 1 in 25? 1 in 100? 1 out of a year's worth of Saturdays? It's an unanswerable question. You can't describe what's going on out there every Saturday. In fact, every day. It's not just Saturdays. It's just Saturdays I can sometimes do it. I'll just say that now the Holy Spirit makes it very difficult to sleep in and relax on Saturday mornings.
Amanda, if you come up, please. Amanda's involved in crisis pregnancy. There's a dot in our bulletin about some bottles that are due today.
Okay, so I'm kind of sharing the same thing of why I chose to be involved with the AAA Pregnancy Center. And the abortion issue is something that I have had a passion for since I've been in high school. I've done papers, and I did a speech last semester in college on it. And when I was asked to work with the AAA Pregnancy Center, I was just really excited to have the opportunity to be more directly involved. And my involvement right now is kind of limited just due to school and everything, but I'm hoping that when I do get further in school, I can get more involved as far as like ultrasounds and being there for the women more. And it's just something I think I have a passion for, and I think I have it for a reason. And so I hope to pursue that more in the future. And I think that's it.
Thank you, Ray. Christian Family Services, dealing with pregnancies, adoption opportunities, rest haven home, elderly care, Alliance Defense Fund, providing legal counsel and actually winning cases that are fast, taking us away from God's truth. And we just listened to Amanda in this AAA Pregnancy Center. Let's just bow for a moment. Our Father and our God, we thank you for these individuals that seek to participate with your Spirit in this ministry, and likewise for this church fellowship, that we too might recognize that to some degree we are involved in it. We pray that you would burden our hearts about these issues. Amen. To be like God means, in Colossians 1:15, it says that Christ is the image of God. And we are instructed to be seeking by the means of the Holy Spirit to be like Jesus Christ. And to be like him means that we openly tell the message of Jesus Christ, salvation that's available through him, and the biblical truth that we've come to know. It also means a shift in our attitude, our time consumption, the priority towards serving the oppressed. The news is full of it right now. Opportunities by the carload for us. As believers in Jesus Christ, seeking to be like him, these things are part and parcel of what it means. As we have considered this issue of the sanctity of life, perhaps it stirred up some memories in you or your family that we wish could be erased. This and other sins can be fully forgiven by the Lord, but often we go and confess and ask God's forgiveness 100 times over issues in our lives, but we just don't feel forgiven. We don't sense his forgiveness, because forgiveness is often a long-term process. We urge you, either yourself or through a friend, to make contact with the Dunning Park woman here today. Take this opportunity to take advantage of Christian counseling that's available in dealing not only with this issue of abortion, but many other sins that are weighing us down. Sins that we manage to keep aside, and then we come to church once in a while, or we are in our beds, and these things come up. We want you to know that forgiveness is available to you, and we encourage you to take advantage of this opportunity. Listen to the words of this psalm. While we're reading this, the musicians would come up, please. While we're reading this, but listen to the psalm. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth. And teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from old. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord, for the sake of your name, O Lord. If you go ahead and start, please, and take your hymnal, and we're not going to sing this song, but we want you to take a look at these words. But listen to the words of Psalm 139. It says this: Look deep into my heart, O God, and find out all I am thinking. Don't let me follow evil ways, but lead me in the way that time has proven to be true. So let's turn to number 490. I'm wrong.
460.
Alice-Anne, what's the number?
460.
Pardon? Four what? 470?
660.
Okay. 469? All right. Thank you, man. Four 460, these words say this: Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. We invite you, as perhaps issues have come into your mind today, we have this opportunity of being the last generation, but the generation that's going to speak truth into today's society. And for those changes that may be in our lives or necessary as it relates to our exposure to the Word of God, it's become very minimal for many of us. We urge you to reevaluate how time is spent, that we might spend our time for His glory and for the long-term results of eternity. Let's bow our hearts together. Now go into the world in peace. Have courage, hold on to what is the truth. Honor all men, strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the suffering, and share the gospel. Love and serve the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Amen. Thank you for being with us today. And next Sunday, Mark is going to continue in this series with the sanctity of marriage. Thank you.